Today is Monday, the 1st of August, 2011, and my name is Micah Marty, and I'll be interviewing you and your name, your full name?
Bob Gonski.
Mm-hmm. And you were one of the original forerunners.
Yes, I was.
Came here back in June of 1961.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we'll just take what time we have here to talk through some of your memories and get this recorded.
Mm-hmm.
Just some quick background. How was it that you came to know about this opportunity and ended up coming up here as a forerunner?
I was a student at the Luther Bible Institute in Minneapolis.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in a first-year student. In the fall of 1960, they gave a movie presentation of the village because they just had acquired it in 1960.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were looking for volunteers to come out to the village to work. And we had to pay our own way out here.
Mm-hmm.
And then for the work we did, they fed us, and then we had to get back home after that by ourselves. And so there were four of us from our school, two gals and two guys that volunteered to come.
Okay. Now, were most of the forerunners from the Lutheran Bible Institute?
No, just four of us.
Just four, okay.
And so they were recruiting throughout the Midwest and the West.
Okay.
They were giving this movie presentation at different places, schools and colleges, and
okay,
looking for people.
Now, wasn't it the Lutheran Bible Institute that originally acquired it?
Well, the Lutheran Bible Institute of Seattle, Washington, which was a sister school,
okay,
to the one in Minneapolis.
So only four people came from the one in Minneapolis.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Were there other Minnesotans that came, or were you one of the?
Yeah, there were two other fellows from Minnesota from Minneapolis that come.
Okay.
That belonged to different Lutheran churches.
Okay. Cool. And so, how old were you when you came out?
I was 21 years old. I had been grew up on a dairy farm, and I had stayed on the farm a year after I got out of high school, and then I started at the Lutheran Bible Institute, so I was already 21 years old when I come.
Okay.
So
how many years was your program at the Lutheran Bible Institute?
2-year program. So mm-hmm. after I come back from Holden that summer, I went another year.
Okay.
And graduated from their 2-year program.
Okay. Cool. So it was the Lutheran Bible Institute of Seattle that brought everyone out.
Right.
And they were originally the people who were getting Holden together. Was Wes Preve out here when you guys
came? No, he wasn't here. I've never met him at all.
Okay. So he was just sort of behind the scenes for this
right
part of it.
He was the one writing the letters and stuff, and actually received the information that they'd give it to him,
mm-hmm,
you know, to the Bible school.
Yeah.
Of course, the Bible school wasn't very big, so they really couldn't handle the whole project either.
Mm-hmm.
So they
got recruits from a lot of different places.
Right. They formed they got all the other Lutheran synods involved in the program,
mm-hmm,
and then formed the board of directors, and some on the board from the different synods.
Mm-hmm. That must have been really fun for you to meet all these different Lutheran young people from around the country.
Yeah, they were 20 boys and 20 girls from 14 different states.
Wow.
And so when we come up here, we all met in Chelan,
mm-hmm,
at a Lutheran church there, and they had a big feed for us when we come into town and let us sleep overnight in the church in our sleeping bags.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day we boarded the boat to come up here.
Wow. So the way that you got out to Chelan, did you take the train,
there
the bus?
One of the other fellow from LBI, and then the two fellows from St. Paul.
Mm-hmm.
We drove out together in one of their cars.
Okay.
Then we camped out on the way out and slept overnight in the Glacier Park and
yeah,
different places.
That must have been a fun adventure. So can you tell me a little bit about what was going through your head when LBI advertised this to you, and you thought, hey, I want to sign up for this, or what was it perhaps that drew you to it, and what were your expectations for the trip?
Well, actually, I grew up on a farm, and I had never been out of Wisconsin much. I figured, here's an opportunity. Go west, young man, go west. And so I signed up right away, and I was able, they picked me to go, so.
That's great.
And we probably didn't realize all the work that was going to be involved.
Yeah, so did they tell you you would be cleaning up this big mess?
They said there was a ghost town. That kind of intrigued us, that we could go into this ghost town and start cleaning it up. So we didn't really realize what it was going to be.
When you got off the Lady of the Lake, it was Lady of the Lake at that time,
right?
Did you guys ride up the hill in a bus? Was there someone here to meet you, some staff?
There was a brand new International Stake Rack truck in 1961,
okay,
sitting there in the dock, and we all got on the back of the truck.
Uh-huh.
40 of us.
In one truck?
One truck, hanging on, going up the switchbacks. And that truck had a pretty hard time making that hill, them hills.
Who got behind the wheel?
Well, we had a driver.
There was a driver, okay. It wasn't just whoever drew straws.
No.
Okay. And so what sort of staff were helping out with the project?
Okay, we had Dr. Bergstrand from the old Augustana Lutheran Center. Mm-hmm. He was in the youth department, had the youth department of that center. And he come up here for the 4 weeks with us. And he took care of the Bible studies and our Sunday morning services. And then we had Mr. Gilbert from Seattle. He was in the oil station business. And he was about 60 years old at that time, and he volunteered his services, and he was here several years.
Sure.
He was sort of in charge of everything. And then we had Dr. Laris and his wife from Pacific Lutheran University. He was our biologist.
Okay.
And he talked about the different trees and the flowers and the plants and stuff, and and the mining operation. And then he had two children with him, and they were teenagers. And then Dr. Bergstrand and his wife, who is a pastor, he had their two little boys with them, probably 5 and 6 or something like that. So they were up here the whole time. Then there was a fellow by the name of Reuben Thompson, which he was from the Twin City area. He come up to sort of be the caretaker around here, and he stayed here the first winter by himself he had a little dog with him, and he stayed all winter by himself.
I've seen pictures of that, yeah.
And then we had Bertha, which was our cook, and those were the ones that were here to help us get going.
So what was the relationship like between the student volunteers and those staff people?
Really good. I mean, Gil Berg, he was the head of the operations here, and he got everybody to work. He could relate to the young people, and everybody, just about all of us, did exactly what he wanted us to do. And he was right out there with us. He wasn't sitting here but in the cabins when we were all cutting trails. He was right at the front end of there and told us which trees to cut. And
So did with 40 students, I imagine that might have been, I'm wondering how much personal conversation time you would have had with any of those staff members that you maybe related better to.
With the students?
To like chat if one of them was like a mentor to you or helped you in some capacity.
Well, mostly from our Bible studies. We had them, and we studied about John the Baptist, and we studied Ephesians, and it was really good. It kept our focus in why we were doing this, and and what we talked about, what this place could become after we left.
Yeah, so you did that every morning of the Bible study.
We had devotions right away in the morning when we got up, and then we had breakfast, and then we had work till noon. We had some Bible studies in the evening. In the afternoon, we had some free time to do some hikes And some of the days when we had jobs to do, we'd work past noon till 6 o'clock in the evening, mm-hmm. some days.
That's so. Nice. So it was a very, despite all the work you had to do, it was very Christ-centered, and you spent a lot of time at the Bible. It's nice.
And we were here for a purpose, to get this place in shape for future people to come mm-hmm. and enjoy the scenery and enjoy the studies and stuff. And
yeah, so what, I suppose, I'm curious what you at the time imagined this place would be like and how it presently compares to your idea of what it would be.
Well, we had a lot of discussions in our group of what this place should be like. Should it be for high school kids? And we felt that no, we have Bible camps for that. Mm-hmm. For pre-high school kids and stuff, and we envisioned it be a place for young adults and for families to come mm-hmm. and share their time together here and have speakers and Christ-centered, Bible-centered based people come to proclaim God's love and God's will mm-hmm. for us.
So when you see the village as it is today, there are a lot of young people and a lot of families.
Right.
Do you feel like it's sort of become what it was intended to be? Does it feel like the place that you imagined?
Yeah, over the years, probably more than what we probably imagined. I mean, all the things they have to do here mm-hmm. and the kind of speakers they have come in. But our biggest concern would stay focused on the Bible. And not stray away into something else. Mm-hmm. There's been different focuses over the years. Every time you got new directors in, I mean, it's probably went in a different direction. There was a time where we had all vegetarian food. I mean,
yeah.
And that didn't go well with a lot of people. Now we're back where we got some good meals again. And but each director had a different direction.
Yeah.
And the board of directors, the board tried to get people in here to keep it Christ-centered, but mm-hmm. there's different ideas in the world.
Right.
And but now we feel, especially this time we've talked, us forerunners that are here, that it's changing probably back to more where we thought it should be.
It's cool.
And we hope that it continues.
That must be fun to see. To watch it transform over time and maybe return to the original vision.
But the whole church, all your churches have gone different directions over the years and then come back, and some didn't come back and as we thought they should, but mm-hmm. we weren't we didn't have all the answers. We just had some proposals of what it should be like, and mm-hmm. we weren't the directors.
Yeah, I read your comments in this book here, and I like that what you said was that Holden Village has brought me closer to Christ by fellowship with one another, with mm-hmm. my peers, and by walking and talking to God each and every day.
Yeah.
And I like that because it feels like mm-hmm. Feels like that's what Holden is about. It's about people coming together and connecting with God
mm-hmm.
and sort of sharing that with each other in this place that's really reclused from a lot of the other pressures of our modern society. Mm-hmm. And so the way that you describe it here, back when you were originally.
And we got a standing ovation when we come this time.
Yeah.
I mean, other times it wasn't like that.
Yeah.
I mean, but now, I mean, we weren't the ones to, we may have been the first ones here, but look at all the volunteers in 50 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, it wasn't only us.
Well,
and we, when we left, we give the glory to God that And even now, this place is still going.
Well, that, yeah, it's a beautiful thing that it keeps going like it does, and I think that the celebration of the Forerunners and all the work that you've done is it's worth celebrating, I think, because it seemed from at least from the Olympics and the way that those stories were told, it sounded like
And the people we talked to, they appreciated what we have done. I'm sure. I mean, we can tell it. Because they thank us for this.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't do it all. I mean, we got a good start. So.
So how many times have you come back since then? Do you come back outside of the reunion occasions?
Or? Well, we came back for the 5-year reunion, and I brought my new bride on a honeymoon here. Got her incorporated into the village here. And then we brought our teenagers in 1981 and 86. In 86 we had a 2-year-old besides 3 teenagers.
Okay.
And then we come back 5 years ago, which was supposed to be our reunion, but we couldn't get our group together. But we come with the Mount Carmel Bible Camp out of Alexander, Minnesota. They had a bus trip.
Okay.
So we come with that group, and that was really good to get to know all them people and to share the time with them here at Holden. And we come the next year for our reunion again, our 45th reunion. And now we come this year, and then maybe 5 years, we still have one daughter that wasn't able to come with us this year, and we brought a whole family except her and her husband and another little granddaughter. So maybe in 5 years we may have another reunion.
That'd be fun.
If we're still here.
Yeah. So. Well, now, how has the attendance of the reunions gone over the years? Is it decreasing or increasing?
In the beginning, there was quite a few more, and right now there's about 10 or 12 that have passed away already. And then there's probably another 10 that we kind of lost contact with over the years. And there's one here today that come that this was their first reunion. In the 50th, so that was good. And so there's just 4 of us now this year.
Well, so back to the actual experience of what you did. When you guys first pulled into the village here, can you describe a little bit to me about what it looked like and what your first impressions were?
Well, actually, the mountains in the village looked the same today as it did then, other than they needed some cleanup. I mean, there were windows broken and stuff, and there were branches across the road and rocks in the road and stuff, but the buildings were in fairly good repair yet after 4 years. And then, of course, the miners' village, those houses were broken down from the snowfall and stuff, and then later on, a few years later, the Forest Service burned those buildings and leveled things up there. So
I suppose there was probably none of this gardening and landscaping that you see here.
No, none of that. Yeah.
In fact, the grasses were probably grown over.
Yeah, they were just beginning to grow around the 15th of June when we come in here. So some of the older stuff from the year before was flattened out from the snowfall. And so the greening was just coming up good then, so. But there were some flowers and stuff too, especially up where the miner village was, around the houses there. There were flowers and plants yet from when they lived there.
Yeah. One thing I was struck by, I was looking through the photo album over there, and I saw a picture of someone standing out in sort of what's the village green right now. And in this photo, he was holding his dog, so I assume it was this man who spent the winter here, you mentioned earlier. I don't remember his name, but...
Reuben.
Reuben, yeah.
Right.
Reuben.
And in the background was one of the lodges and the power lines that go alongside it. And it looked like he could have taken that exact photo a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
Because
it's the same.
There's been, these buildings have held up so well. They, for the most part, aside from some paints and some small occasional revisions on them.
Yeah, the rebuilding, like on Chalet, this Chalet right here, number two, is it looks almost like it, like the original one.
Yeah, that's
the way they built it. And then four years ago, when or five years ago, when we were here at the Mount Carmel shop, we had a chance to do some work too while we were here for our pay.
Okay.
And so a couple of us, a buddy of mine who come up on the trip with us, we put boards around the bottom of the Chalet here and some of the other buildings. And use lumber and skill saws, and we did a little carpentry work too.
That's great.
It was fun. Plus we did some hiking too that week.
So that your comments about carpentry there make me think of the sort of repairs you would have had to do when you first arrived. Was there some carpentry stuff that had to be done, some fix up on buildings, or?
Well, mostly was to clear the stuff and clear the down trees, and then we had to cut firewood to put in our stove to do our cooking, and cut trees on the trails. And
now, how were you cutting those trees?
With hand saws, cross cut saws, I mean 2 foot logs.
Yeah.
We had to teach the girls how to pull on a cross cut saw. You know, you gotta work together with a cross cut saw, you gotta handle on each end. And you gotta work together. You gotta both pull, one pull and one push, and then one pull and the other one push.
So with someone who hadn't experienced that before, that was probably a fun challenge then.
Yeah, it was. We had contests who could saw the log the fastest, and it was a lot of fun.
That's great. How long would it take to clear out say there was a fallen tree across a trail?
Well, it depends on how big it was and stuff, and, you know.
Sure.
And cut the limbs off. And
so, okay, so when you're talking about that, are those trails like 10 Mile Falls Trail here, or was it places within the village?
Well, we made a trail from up at the mine level up to Copper Creek there.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, Copper Falls. Copper Falls, yeah. Okay. And then we did some work on the trail to 10 Mile Creek. And then there were up to Honeymoon Heights. We did some trail cutting there.
Wow.
And a lot of them trails were growing over after 4 years. And so some of the other main trails, I think to the Heart Lake and Lyman, that the Forest Service had did some cutting on them too. The main trails, but the ones around the village, trail around the village up and above the houses up here.
Right.
We had to do some work on them.
And at the time you came, the snow was melted?
No, there was still some snow in the village, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did that, what sort of hindrance was that to your efforts to clean things up and clear things out?
Well, there wasn't that much snow. That bothered us too much in the village. But okay. There was always water running down the gutters, yeah, in the village.
Yeah.
So the snow, there was some snow area. Yeah.
Okay. So you mentioned that you had sleeping bags when you were in Chelan staying at that church. Where did you sleep when you were up here in the village?
Well, when we come up here, we slept inside mostly in these buildings here, the houses, and used our sleeping bags.
Okay.
But there were some beds in here and stuff.
Some people got beds?
Hmm?
Did some people get beds?
Yeah.
But not everyone?
No.
How did you decide who got a bed?
First come, first serve. Usually the ladies got the beds. And
did the men and the women sleep in different houses?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I suppose you could probably fit 20 young guys under one roof, right?
Yeah.
You just used two houses for all 40 students. Mm-hmm. That's nice. Mm-hmm. And for food, you mentioned that you had Bertha.
Bertha was our cook, and then we had each of our four people were divided up into four teams of 10 each. Mm-hmm. And then one group had to help had to cut the firewood and stuff and get ready, and one people had to help to cook, and the other people had to help with devotions, the other group, and then the other people had to clear trails and stuff, and we all cleared trails together, but there were specific things we had to do from each group. And then each week we rotated the groups to the other, so So each went through, each group went through all the different jobs.
Okay.
So. There was a lot of work.
Yeah.
That we did, and, but we had time to have our devotions and have our prayer time, and we spent one time a 24-hour prayer vigil for this place, where every half hour during the 24 hours somebody was praying, mm-hmm. and there'd be alarm clocks going off during the night, trying to get up to get your half hour in.
That's great.
And then we had periods where we had quiet time during our work for all morning, just meditating as we worked mm-hmm. for this place. So it was a very close-knit group. By the time we got to the end, and it was time to leave, it was hard to go.
Hard to go.
Yeah.
So, did you guys stay in touch? Did you write letters to some of your friends?
Yeah, some of us stayed in touch for many years, and we're still stay in touch with them after 50 years.
Yeah.
Some we lost contact with.
It's so different from the way that young people stay in touch nowadays.
Yeah, there was no texting and all that with cell phones, and we have no cell phones, no phones here, no electricity, no television, no of that stuff.
It's nice that it can still remain sort of isolated in that way. People still don't have general cell phone reception.
Right.
Guests and people who are here for just a short while don't have access to the computers. So there's not really... They show movies sometimes, but there's no TV.
Yeah.
People
like to come here. Mm-hmm. They want to be away from all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And be able to meditate on some of the things.
I wonder if that's become more meaningful and more valuable to people since when you guys were here, because back then you could have been in Chelan and still it would have been difficult to contact someone in Minnesota.
Right, right.
Whereas now you're in Chelan and everyone's at a finger's length away.
Mm-hmm.
It's proved to be very nice in that way. But I think that the ability to write letters to your friends really, that helps you recognize the strength of a relationship.
Yeah.
So it sounds like the staff really had it well put together, so that this wasn't too much of an inhospitable trip for you guys.
Yeah, they had things all organized, and we did what they wanted to have done,
mm-hmm.
and everybody worked hard and did their jobs and. We maybe had one or two that might have been a little slower than the rest, but in a group of 40, you're going to get different people.
Yeah, I suppose.
With different ideas. And
so, would you be able to share for me at all the kinds of things that when you were working, perhaps during like a meditative work morning or something, the kinds of things that would be on your mind about this place and about what you were doing when you were up here doing that work?
Well, our big concern was that we stayed true to God's word. That in the next generation or the next years ahead, that this place would stay true to, because this was a gift from God, this place. And so we wanted to honor that
mm-hmm.
and give him all the glory.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't for our glory, it was for him.
I think that's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And that's great. Are there any particular memories or certain stories that really stick out in your mind as something whimsical or crazy or adventurous that happened while you were up here, or something really meaningful and special that happened?
One thing, we got to go down the mine shaft.
Mm-hmm.
The engineer from the mining company come up, he walked 1 mile straight into the mountain and
oh, wow.
ankle deep water, and
huh.
and there was different places along the way where the side of the main shaft there was a hole in, and there was one place there he said, shine your flashlights in there. And he had one of these big miner's helmets with the big light up on the cap, you know. And he shined his in there, and you couldn't see the end of the beam. He said that area in there is about the size of 5 football fields.
Well, just
and about 800 feet high, hollowed out.
Wow.
And just imagine 56 miles of tunnels in that mountain.
That's how many there were.
Yeah, 56 miles of tunnels.
Wow.
At different levels, see? Mm-hmm. It'd go down, the main shaft went down probably between 2,000 and 3,000 feet.
Now, did they take you down the shaft at all?
No.
You just walked in on them?
There was nothing, nothing operating at that time.
Okay.
You could walk in the railroad track, or the track where the ore cars come out,
mm-hmm.
went in about a mile, and then there was the main shaft.
Okay.
And then all the stuff was brought up by elevators and dumped into the rail cars, little 9 cars,
mm-hmm.
and then it was taken out to the mine.
Mm-hmm.
And so we dropped the stone down the main shaft, and we counted to 23 before it hit water.
Wow.
So it was a long way down.
Huh.
You just imagine all that was blasted. That was solid rock in that mountain. I mean, it was all blasted
out
with dynamite.
Wow.
Yeah. And then it had to be blasted into small enough chunks where it could be put in these little cars,
yeah.
and then brought out and dumped into the crushers on the mine building itself.
Yeah.
And crushed to a powder. And then with all the chemicals they used to settle all the copper, zinc, gold, and copper. Yeah. Copper, zinc, gold, and I guess that's it, silver. So then that all had to be, that was that, all that stuff then was put into, I think, three or four ton round containers, and then they loaded them on the trucks and trucked them down to the lake.
Mm-hmm.
And they went on the barge down the Chelan, on the railroad cars, and out to Seattle, or Tacoma, to the smelters.
So, had you ever experienced something like a mine before?
No.
Coming from Wisconsin Dairy?
No. All I experienced is throwing hay bales back home.
So, what was that like to walk inside, it was so deep inside the mountain?
It was kind of eerie, and some people thought we were crazy to do that, but we had the engineer, he said there was no problem. He said the main shaft was all solid rock, and there wasn't much chance of an avalanche or something or being blocked
mm-hmm.
as you went in. So then we got in there. One of the gals said we should sing a song, you know, when we get way in.
So it echoed around.
So she said, "Well, let's sing 'I Will Not Be Afraid.'"
So you all sang that?
No, I guess we didn't sing it, but. You just mentioned that.
So, did all of the students decide to go in, or did some?
Not stay everybody back? Went in.
Okay.
I guess the brave ones went in. There were quite a few of the girls went in too. But
mm-hmm.
Everybody didn't want to go in.
Sure. Did you have any type of leisure activities like hiking? Along the Heart Lake Trail or something?
Yeah, in the afternoons we had time to do that hiking, and then there were some days we took a 2-day hike.
Mm-hmm. Where did you go on the 2-day hike?
We had a pretty big group that went to Heart Lake, and then we come back, and then another day we went up to Lyman Lake, mm-hmm. and then up to Cloudy Pass, and then we kind of split up there into two groups, and one group went to Image Lake, was near Glacier Peak,
yeah.
and the other group took the Agnes Creek Trail, which went all the way up to Stehekin, north end of the lake, and then we caught the boat there and come back to Lucerne here to the dock, and then we got picked up with the stake rack truck and come back up to the village here.
That must have been fun, huh?
Yeah, it was. That's about a 30-mile hike down the Agnes Creek Trail.
Did you go Agnes Creek Trail?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But once you got up the Cloudy Pass, it was downhill.
Right.
All the way up to Stehekin.
All the way to Stehekin?
Yep. Well, there were some small hills, but mainly it was downhill after the pass. Huh. From the pass this way, it's downhill too.
Mm-hmm.
Come past Lyman Lake, Hart Lake. And then we went up to Copper Basin up here. We hiked there and 10 Mile Creek. And so we went to most of the lakes, Holden Lake.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
So not all of us, I mean, mm-hmm. went there. But
that must have been... on top of the work. I mean, that it sounds like, in a large way, what you all did while you were here was sort of similar to what young people do here now. Different types of work tasks, maybe, and maybe less rigorous, like clean up and transform the way this place looks, but they come up here and work hard and take their off time to go hike the mountains.
Yeah,
and
that's what we did.
And live in Christian community together.
Mm-hmm.
So that's cool.
And a lot of our hikes, Dr. Laris come with us, and so he told us about the different flowers and what kind of trees and stuff, and talked about the mineral and different kind of minerals in the rock up here, and it was good.
That must have been really, really, really special to have that along. Perhaps it was more common back in the 60s to have a naturalist along with you, but it seems like it's great to have a naturalist along.
That was all volunteer time. He was here most of the 4 weeks with us, too.
And was he a professor out at one of the universities? Or?
Yeah, out of Pacific Lutheran University. Okay. He was a professor there.
Okay.
Yeah. He has family with him, his wife and the two kids, two teenagers, and teenagers down all the hikes with us. And
So they had teenagers and another family had small children.
Yep.
Did you guys get to interact with these young people much? These younger people?
Oh, yeah.
Kids, you play with the kids?
Teenagers especially. They worked right with us, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's neat.
We delegated them to do some work.
Yeah.
And then the little boys, the two little boys were playing on the sand piles and stuff, and they had a good time. There were toys at the houses at the miners' villages that we picked up, and so they had toy tractors and trucks and stuff like that too. A lot of that stuff was left in houses.
Yeah,
and the miners left.
Now, when you arrived at the village, that makes me think of the mining village. When you arrived at the miners' houses, what did you see in there? Were some of them, was it as though they left in a hurry, or did it look like they packed up?
They left in a real hurry because there were clothes hanging on the clotheslines yet outside, and there were toys scattered around in the houses. It just looked like they grabbed what they could and went. And they had left, I guess they left in a couple days. They had to be out of here. And when it closed quickly. And there's only one way out.
Yeah.
Get on the boat. Nobody was swimming.
Yeah.
So, it was a great time.
Yeah, it sounds like it was.
And I think we all of us appreciated the opportunity to be here. And start something that we didn't realize was what it was going to become.
Well, we all now appreciate that you did this and made it so that there was an opportunity for us to come out here and have a similar sort of experience.
Yeah, we got it started, and there's other groups come in did as much as we did, I'm sure. And then there was all these volunteer adults that come, did all of the electrical work and all the carpentry and get the sewage system in place, and a lot of volunteer work.
Yeah.
When you look at it today, when I come down the road and seeing the sewage system out here and next to Railroad Creek and different places, some stuff I don't even know what it was. It's all part of the program. And that's what made this place go, besides God's guidance. He had a purpose for this gift. And that's what it is. So
that's beautiful, huh?
Yeah.
Well, great. Thank you, Bob, for taking this time to talk with me.
You're welcome. I like to talk about it.
It's really fun for me to hear about it, too.
I've been talking about it for 50 years, been singing the songs in the tractor when I'm out in the field driving tractor, and still want to sing the work song. And
yeah.
So, good to be back.
Well, it's good to have you guys here. And I suppose this audio record will be in their archives from now on, so if you ever want to come back and listen to it.
Yeah, I can listen to my own voice.
Yep. and yeah, I'll see you at the forum tonight. I'm really excited to hear you guys tell your stories. But
okay.
Thanks again for this. Yep. I appreciate it. It was fun to chat.